Did you hear about this story regarding transportation in Seattle? Again, the Seattle School District always demanding more money. Always going to Olympia and pleading poverty. Average school teacher makes over $71,000 in salary alone in the city of Seattle, plus benefits. And they have a defined benefit pension plan, not a defined contribution 401k. All right? I'm setting the table here because at Channel 7, reporter Gary Horker uncovered a transportation program they have that is just stunning. They are sending hundreds of kids a day, hundreds of school children every day of the year get a taxi ride or a limo ride to school.
Just think for a moment what it would cost you to ride a taxi to work every single day. If that doesn't sound cost effective, you might wonder why hundreds of Seattle public school students take taxis and even chauffeured Lincoln Town cars to school, and why you're stuck picking up the $1 million tab.
Chauffeured Lincoln Town cars. It's door-to-door taxi service. It's the service is for students who are defined as homeless. Now, homeless to you and me means they're either living in their cars or they're living in a shelter somewhere, or God forbid, they're not even in a position where they can stay at a shelter and they're literally on the street. But that's not how homeless is defined by the Seattle School District. You can live in a home and be classified as homeless.
For hundreds of students considered homeless, hopping a taxi to and from school is a daily routine. Undercover Cairo 7 investigators found students being picked up and dropped off by taxis and, yes, even expensive Lincoln Town cars. The longest route we tracked was from Beacon Hill Elementary all the way to an apartment in Bothell, about 30 miles away. Now, the woman coming out to greet the children is Yolanda, the children's grandmother. She asked us not to show her face.
I'm not that gung-ho on cabs, but I'm like, whatever way you could do to be cost-effective, I would, you know, gladly support that.
Yolanda says her family was forced to move from Seattle because of money problems. She says it's important for her grandkids' educational stability to keep them in their original school, but she never asked for a cab.
It is very premium service. I didn't expect for it to be as expensive as it is.
Okay, so what they're telling these kids is, well, because you have to move from Seattle for financial reasons, you know, your home was foreclosed on or the family split up or whatever, and now you have to live at grandma's apartment, instead of going to school in the Bothell area, the Seattle School District will send a taxi cab over to grandma's apartment and will drive you to and from your old school on Beacon Hill every day. The roots of this program are in a 25-year-old federal law that had the strong support of, remember this guy, Tom Foley, former House Speaker and Spokane Congressman.
A federal law called the McKinney-Vento Act says if a family moves into temporary housing, the district has to do whatever's feasible to get the kids to and from their original school. SPS believes this is the most efficient way to transport those students. The cabbies don't mind either.
So it sounds like some of the drivers can make a full-time living just taking kids to school.
Lucky ones. Few lucky ones.
The few lucky ones get to take the kids to school.
Yes.
Seattle cab drivers tell us some of the daily routes can top $200, and they fight every year to get steady, lucrative student routes.
Now let's think about this. Do you really believe that when they were debating this legislation back in 1987, that if someone had stood up and said, so I just want to clarify, you will mandate that school districts drive a student from one location, you know, from the home he used to live in, or the school he used to go to, still goes to, because you will send a car service to take him back and forth from his new home? people on the House floor, the Senate floor would have said, well, no, we're not going to send taxis, you know, to where their new home and drive them to their old school. That's ridiculous. But that is how they are running. That's how they're interpreting this law. And remember, the definition of homeless is vague. The Seattle School District has chosen, mind you, to use the most lenient, the most generic, and the most expansive definition of homeless as possible. So these kids who are living with grandma are classified as homeless. They're not homeless. They're living at home with a relative, just not in the home they were living in a few months ago. Anyway, here's what happened when Channel 7 talked to Seattle school officials about this million-dollar program.
Cairo 7 investigators found cab usage has been criticized in audits for years, yet there have been few changes.
Well, we're looking at a wide variety of programs to try and contain the costs, and then with the idea that any savings found can be reinvested back into the classrooms.
Transportation Supervisor Brandon Holst admits his department's budget is unsustainable. Now, we asked him if there was any specific study on the cost effectiveness of door-to-door taxi service.
Not that I'm aware of.
Then our producer asked him why we saw premium town car service in addition to cabs.
So why town cars?
I don't know.
Well, great answer. I don't know.
Do they charge the same as a cab person?
I don't know.
Incredibly, Holst says until now...
I don't know. I only run the program.
Now, his department never monitored the output of taxpayer cash for homeless student cab rides.
It was just a request that my leader had made of us recently to try and break those costs out so we really could figure out where we can be more efficient.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. Look, in other words, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So how do you have an outrage like this? Well, here's why you have an outrage like this. The people supplying the rides, they don't care. In fact, they like this program. They make a mint. They make a bunch of money. They have a guaranteed fare in the morning. The families don't mind. I mean, I think my mom would have loved it if a taxi would have pulled up to our place every day.
Door-to-door service.
For heaven's sakes. So... the taxis don't mind, and the town car services, they don't mind. The families don't mind. And as you clearly heard from this block of wood who serves as the transportation director in the Seattle School District, they don't care because they don't pay attention.
So why town cars?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What, isn't it more expensive?
I don't know. I don't know.
So, anyway, how does Tacoma handle this problem? I mean, do they all do what the Seattle School District does?
Tacoma uses only buses and not a single cab to transport its homeless students.
Oh! You mean that they can take buses instead of taxis? The heck you say? This just cries out for open ridicule. This is the same Seattle School District that gave us Silas Potter. This is the same Seattle School District that turned down millions of dollars it could have had for the sale of an old school building that butted up against the Bush School. And instead said, no, that's all right. No, we'll put a community center and a school within a community center there. And we'll forego the millions of dollars. Unbelievable that this has happened.
I don't know.
And the Seattle, well, you know what? Seattle folks listening to me in Seattle, you deserve this. You keep voting in these levies. You keep turning a blind eye. Audit after audit is showing this. And only when, you know, an intrepid reporter for an investigative unit for one of the TV stations or for the Seattle Times, only when they get into it do you find out. Where's your school board? This is just amazing. They could be doing this with buses, but instead they are sending taxis and town cars. And this guy knows from the Seattle School District, he knows they're coming to ask about this program. And he still doesn't have any answers. So even when he's prepped to answer their questions, he sounds unprepared.
So why town cars?
I don't know.
So this, again, is just so outrageous. This is a school district with too much money. When they spend it, when they throw it around like this, and I don't know how much it costs, you know, it just, you know, we're just complying with the law, and this is how we've chosen to comply with the law, and this is how we've chosen to define homelessness. Just outrageous. Hundreds of kids a day getting curbside service. I bet you didn't have that when you were going to Kent Meridian, Brittany Perrault. No.
Nuh-uh.
Anyway, it is 16 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.
So why town cars?
I don't know.
I like that. I don't know. That's nice. Mr. Han, will I pass this class? Gee, Mr. Spicoli, I don't know.
Let's talk to Janet in Kent, hear what she has to say. Janet, good to have you on KVI this morning.
Hi. I love listening to your show. I agree with almost everything you always say, but today I'm thinking that a little bit more information might be helpful. I worked in a school district for a lot of years, 19 years.
Okay.
And I'm doing something else now, so I'm not current. I've been out for like 5 years, but I know that when I was there, it wasn't the Seattle school district, and I don't think Seattle is the only school district using taxicabs to do this with kids. And the reasons are, you know, pretty much broader than what you've kind of alluded to. You already know, I'm sure, that standardized test scores for kids who are transient, moving from place to place all the time, are much lower. So they do what they can to keep kids in the same environment. By the way, it ends, or as far as I know from when I was there, it ends at the end of the school year. This is not going to happen next year and the year after for those same kids. But the McKinney-Vento Act, I'm not exactly sure of the verbiage, but I know that loosely you can interpret it as a student is considered homeless if they do not live in a home with their parents. If they're living with an aunt or an uncle, it's not considered stable because at any time the aunt or uncle or grandma can say, I can't deal with them anymore, and they can be out. So that's why they're considered homeless.
But they're not homeless.
I know they're in a home. I'm just saying how it can be interpreted, and that's how schools kind of look at it, so that they can get the federal money to support what they're
doing.
There
it is right there.
I know.
If we classify these kids as homeless, we'll get more federal money.
Yes, you're right. That's sort of bottom line on that part. But if you look at it from the point of the kid, it can be good. It doesn't have to be a taxi, that's for sure. I know that, you just asked Brittany if it was going on at Kent Meridian when she was there, and she said, oh, no, yeah, guess what? I bet it was. She just doesn't know that, because it's not like broadcast. I'm coming to school in a taxi.
Well, wait, here again, the people at Channel 7, asked Tacoma how they had a listen, and here was the response from the Tacoma School District.
Tacoma uses only buses and not a single cab to transport its homeless students.
So Seattle could be doing what Tacoma's doing and just giving the kids vouchers to take a bus.
Oh, you're right. They could be doing that. I guess it probably has, especially in Seattle where there's so much public transportation available to, you know, their schools. It wouldn't work as well in outlying districts where that's
what
not
a great
as
point
being.
You just made, Janet. What?
What
a great that Seattle be the last city that has curb-to-curb car service because they have so many different modes of public transit.
Well, and other school districts could probably be more creative about maybe having a single bus driver designated just to do that kind of thing and using a smaller bus or something. I understand transportation is a hideous issue for school districts to deal with because there are so many complications. Kids who have all kinds of special needs, and this, I guess, would be classified as some kind of special need. They, you know, living in the district, then moving outside the district and not wanting to interrupt their education for the year, you know, it makes sense
Jeez, how many military? I wonder how many military families out there right now are shaking their head, saying different schools, being quickly uprooted from where you're scheduled to go to school and going somewhere else. That's a way of life for us in the military.
Sure, and I bet that they probably contribute to some of the test scores that are not as good, because it's hard to make friends and feel comfortable and to jump into one curriculum or another. I understand it. I'm not saying it's the best thing, and I'm not even defending it. I'm just saying I understand why it's happening, and it just seemed that you were a little harsh this morning, and so I thought, well, maybe if you had a little bit more background. It's not just Seattle, number one.
I don't think I'm being harsh enough. I think that Seattle. I think that the Seattle school district is doing exactly what you suggested. They're expanding the definition of homeless so they can get more federal money, and so they are perfectly willing, in exchange for that additional federal money for educating more homeless kids, air quotes, they will put those kids in a taxi and take them back and forth to school, so that if they're audited, they can say, oh, no, this is a homeless kid. Look, we even, under the McKinney-Vento Act, are taking him back and forth to school.
Probably the McKinney-Vento Act is the problem, because if it didn't make it so. I mean, I remember being encouraged to look through, when we get return mail, to look at it, bring the kid in. Why did this get returned? Oh, I moved. I had to move in with my grandma. Oh, really? Oh, I'm supposed to consider you. And we didn't call it homeless because that makes people feel bad. It was supposed to be transitional housing. Oh, so you are in transitional housing? Well, you qualify for, and then the more kids that you had qualifying for that kind of thing, it meant that the government could use these numbers to figure out how many people are actually out there in transition.
I appreciate your call, Janet. I love when people who have spent time on the ground in the subject area we're talking about take the time to call in and contribute to the discussion. Thank you.